Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kervu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. Despite it being the middle of summer, despite no being football being played right now, there's still plenty to talk about. Couple noteworthy events over the 4th of July weekend will pique Packers fans' interest, I think, today. And we're going to break them down. Yeah, so we are now past the slowest Packers news week of the year. So everything gets better from here on out if you're a football fan, particularly a Packers fan. 4th of July week every year, things just die down. People go on vacation. Players are on vacation themselves for the most part, but they're at their hometowns. They're probably not at Packers facilities. Some of them might be, but they're like anybody else. They're taking vacation too, and everything just kind of gets ramped up from here on out. Packers training camp is now less than 3 weeks away. We're probably about 2.5 weeks out from the start of training camp, so we are getting close. We'll pick up with our interviews with the writers at allgreenbaypackers.com on Wednesday. We're just taking a one-show hiatus from that, and we'll pick that back up on Wednesday again, so make sure to tune in for that. But today, we got to talk about one person whose name is Lance Easley. If you haven't heard about it already, and if you haven't, I assume you're not on social media because it's all that people could talk about right now, at least Packers fans. Twitter is just abuzz with it. I'm sure Facebook is too. And any other forms of social media for that matter. Over the weekend, the Seattle Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman had his annual charity softball game. Not unlike what Donald Driver does with the Packers. Very similar thing. A lot of players involved. It's all for charity. It's all for fun. Nothing really taken too seriously there. But with these charity games like this, they're kind of gimmicky. And one of the gimmicks Richard Sherman had going on for this year's event taking place out near Seattle, by the way, is to get involved referee Lance Easley in the proceedings. Lance Easley was part of the event, and I don't even know what his role was, whether he played or he just made an appearance or whether he acted as umpire. I admit, I plead ignorance, but that's beside the point. That hardly matters. What does matter is the method they got him involved. There have been pictures leaked all over the internet. Again, just go to social media. If you're not on Twitter or whatever, just go to twitter.com and search the term Lance Easley. Do you have to be a member to do that? Maybe. Anyway, just go Google Lance Easley in the Google News section. You'll find pictures. And one of the pictures circulating is with Golden Tate and Lance Easley together. Golden Tate, of course, being the wide receiver that caught the infamous touchdown that sent the Packers, basically gave them a loss last year. Do I need to go over the circumstances again? I hope not. I hope I don't have to relive this infamous game from last season with the Packers and the Seahawks. I think we've gotten to the point where pretty much every football fan in America is aware of what happened this game. Week 3 last year, Packers visit Seattle, comes down to the last play, a Hail Mary, and MD Jennings of the Packers, you know, really comes down with the interception, but is not credited with it. It is credited a touchdown to Golden Tate. So there's a picture of Lance Easley, and he's got his arms raised up over his head as if he's calling a touchdown with Golden Tate right by him. And, you know, I suppose that in itself is perhaps in fun, in jest, but it doesn't stop there. This is just the tip of the iceberg with Lance Easley. You know, the even more so, there is another photo of Lance Easley circulating from this past weekend's softball game of him autographing an Aaron Rodgers jersey. He is not Aaron Rodgers autographing it. This is Lance Easley, the replacement referee, autographing an Aaron Rodgers jersey. Now, if that just doesn't stick it to Packer Nation, I don't know what does. And I suppose, I mean, you're Lance Easley, you're going to autograph whatever is thrown in front of you. You know, he is getting his 15 minutes of fame and then some. Yeah, I mean, you know, the immediate aftermath of the game, remember when it all went down, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. The NFL came to an agreement with the regular referees union just, what was it, a day, 2 days later. And so the replacement referees were out on the street, or they just went back to their normal jobs reffing high school ball or college ball or arena ball or whatever they do. And so, you know, Lance Easley in the immediate aftermath had done a lot of interviews with media outlets claiming he like made the right call. So that happened then. And then didn't he do a whole big segment with HBO's, what do they call it, Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel? There was a whole segment produced on him, or maybe it was about the replacement referees, but he was a big part of it. So he did that, and now this, and, you know, the 15 minutes is extending now, 20, 25, 30. He's gotten double his 15 minutes. I'm still not through. If you haven't, you know, followed along here yet, you know, with the what transpired over the weekend with Lance Easley at the Richard Sherman celebrity softball game, it doesn't end yet. And this is perhaps the the most jaw-dropping part of it yet. On Amazon, pre-orders are being taken for a book by Lance Easley. Yes, now Lance Easley has apparently authored a book, and it includes it actually, it's, you know, it's listed right on the cover or whatever. And maybe Jamie, if it's possible here, you can provide a link to the Amazon page for the pre-order. Maybe we can do that here and spread this here so everybody can see it, although it is hardly worth spreading, but I want people to be able to see this. There is a co-author, Brock Thowent or something like that. I've never heard of this author before. You know, basically, he's a ghostwriter. He's writing Lance Easley's story. But the fact that Lance Easley is, you know, making a buck off this, is, you know, trying to do whatever it is he does, it just kind of goes to show, you know, how seriously did he take his job to begin with. This was obviously a very poor decision by the NFL and you know, kind of the referees union too, that they couldn't come to some sort of compromise earlier. You know, they need to have, you know, and this goes with, you know, player strikes way back when, you know, that it's not worth, unless you're putting the top product out on the field that includes players and officials, you know, it's just not worth it, you know, to watch it. It's a product you shouldn't be, that shouldn't be put out on the field to begin with, you know. So there's multiple people at fault here. But, Lance Easley authoring a book. The title is Making the Call, Living with Your Decisions. So, unbelievable that, you know, this one event in history has garnered this much attention. And Lance Easley's 15 minutes of fame continue to go on. It's well more than 15 minutes now. It's been doubled, and it might even be an hour and 15 before it's all done. By the time he gets done with the promotional tour of his book and all that, and all the media websites and television shows and radio shows he'll appear on. Unbelievable. Should we have Lance Easley on Railbird Central? Should I see if we can book that? Him talking here. I don't know what I'm not sure what I'd ask him. But it is quite an unbelievable turn of events that all, you know, just all this came about over the course of one weekend. That all this came out, just the softball event, and then pair that with this book that is apparently coming out. And I just think it's available for pre-order right now. You can't actually buy it yet, but it's coming out soon, I guess. So when the exact release date, I can't even find the release date on here, if there is one. I'm taking a look at the page myself here, but anyway, it's something. That'll wake you up on a Monday morning here following a holiday weekend, the 4th of July weekend. If you haven't had your cup of coffee yet, don't worry. Just go look at the website for Lance Easley's book, the Amazon page that you can order it from, and that'll wake you up all the same. It'll be like a slap in the face. Here you go. Here's your Monday morning slap in the face to wake you up. But this wasn't the only item making news over the weekend here, over the 4th of July weekend. Also, news on Saturday morning. Going in a little bit of a different direction here, but noteworthy nonetheless. On Saturday morning, Packers president Mark Murphy had his monthly column published at the official website of the Green Bay Packers, packers.com. I'm sure you can go find it on the homepage if you wanted to. He does a monthly column, so once every month it comes out, and he basically just answers fan questions with a little bit of a preface involved, a little bit of commentary from him at the beginning. But, in this column, he's asked about the Packers retiring Brett Favre's number. And this topic has come up so much, it's almost getting sickening. But the update, the new part of it here that we haven't heard yet, or if he said it, I'm unaware of it. Mark Murphy does like so many little interviews when he's on the tailgate tour. Unless there's a media outlet that publishes it, you know, from some small local newspaper, sometimes these things fly under the radar. But if he's said this before, I'm unaware of it. And what he said in regards to the retirement of Brett Favre's interview is that the Packers organization would like to retire his number before he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, before he's inducted. And, you know, I think it takes, what, 5 years, maybe more after you quit the NFL that you're eligible for induction. And with Brett Favre, I think most people agree he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's not going to take long for Brett Favre to get in the NFL Hall of Fame. He's the NFL's all-time leading passer, touchdown passes, you name it. He's got the record, you know, of course, the consecutive starts, Iron Man record. He's got that, too. And so he's eligible in 2016 to go into the Hall of Fame. And so the Packers want to retire his number before that. So this is the first time that a timeline has been placed on this event, on when Brett Favre's number is going to be retired. I think this is the first public admission that I've heard that that Mark Murphy or anybody else from the organization, for that matter, but Murphy acts as a mouthpiece, and he put a timeline on it here that when we are going to see Brett Favre's number retired. And, you know, it's not going to happen this season, folks. If you were kind of waiting for it all of a sudden to just happen here and get it out of the way, don't hold your breath. It's not going to happen the 2013 season. You know, with these jersey retirements, or number retirements, I should say, that these always take place during, for the most part. I mean, a team could choose to honor this in any way they choose. There are no rules that they have to follow. But mostly, you know, they happen during regular season games, probably at halftime. You know, there will be a little short ceremony. It'll be nationally televised, whatever. All the broadcast partners pick up on it, you know, Fox, CBS, who's ever broadcasting the game, they show it. You know, there's a lot of attention involved, and it gets, you know, attention from coast to coast, and that's why they happen during regular season games. But there's just not enough time to plan of an event of this magnitude, of one of the best known players in NFL history, for it to happen this year. You know, it's just not enough time. It's not going to happen this year, but it is going to happen soon. So basically, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony takes place in July, takes place this month. Dave Robinson going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame later this month. That is happening in late July. Is it maybe even early August? It's right around the turn there of the month, right around the start of the Hall of Fame game. And, that seeing as that takes place in July or August or whenever it happens during that particular year, you know, they're going to have the jersey retirement, the number retirement in Green Bay before that. Meaning it's going to come in either the 2014 or the 2015 season. So we have it narrowed down a little bit when this event is more than likely going to happen. And it is an inevitability. As much as I could care less whether they, you know, retire Brett Favre's number or not. They can, you know, though, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen in the 2014 or 2015 season. So that you know now that it's now been narrowed And while the Packers organization hasn't made anything official, this is just kind of Mark Murphy talking off the cuff here. You don't have to read into this very far to see that this is the case. So there you go. I've said this before, though. Until they actually come out and say when it is, the speculation is just going to continue. You know, Mark Murphy's going to be continued to be asked about it, whether it's by fans or the media or whoever. Brett Favre's going to continue to be asked about it. Every interview he gives, no matter what outlet, almost every interview, they're going to ask him about it. You know, the Packers organization should just come out and make it official and say this season is going to be when Brett Favre's number is going to be retired, meaning that they should come out and say it's going to be retired during the 2014 season or 2015 season. They don't have to come out and pick an exact date more than a year away yet when next year's schedule hasn't even been released yet. But, if they would do that, and Brett Favre would agree to it, and I think he should, that there's no reason to drag this out any further. You know, it's time. It's time to instead of sitting here and speculating, just name it. Just make it official. You know, Mark Murphy, Packers organization, listen to me. Just go out and say, go out on record and say, it's going to happen next season. We're going to do it. Brett has agreed to come back, get it over, get it done with, so we don't have to speculate about it anymore, you know, when it's going to happen. You know, they don't even have to come up with the exact date. People will be satisfied in knowing it will indeed happen. People will be satisfied, and then the topic can die down at least somewhat. People still talk about it, no doubt about it, but you know the continual questions at least about when it will happen will stop. So just make it official. Say it's going to happen in 2014, 2015 even, although the sooner the better they get this over with as far as I'm concerned. And, you have the retirement and it's a big to-do, a big deal. You know, like I said, it'll be on national television. It'll be on ESPN, you name it. There'll be articles in the newspaper, online, wherever, what have you. And it'll be a big deal again when he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2016. So we're sitting here, that's going to happen almost 3 years away. Brett Favre goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame 3 years away. But, it is what it is. We're on track for it. We just don't know when yet, but it's been narrowed down a little bit here and getting a little bit more specific. But, so here we are in still in early July. We are just a couple weeks away from the start of training camp, and pardon me here, I haven't been getting to the comments here on the live blog, and I was asked, you know, right away on the show by John, checking out our live stream blog here that follows along with the show, saying, what are you looking forward to the most at training camp, Brian? And, obviously the competitions, and perhaps the question is, you know, intended to be a little bit more specific in asking about what competitions. But yeah, there is quite a few of them. And, I just wrote a column at Cheesehead TV shortly after the 4th of July talking about the Packers safety situation and how there's a little depth there at that position on the roster. And that is one of the competitions I'll be keeping an eye on during training camp, the spot opposite Morgan Burnett. There's MD Jennings fighting for a spot. He who caught the Fail Mary, by the way, to bring the show full circle and bring it back to Lance Easley again. But he'll be fighting with Jaron McMillan. So that's one competition going on. You know, another would be the competition at running back. You brought in these two rookies from the NFL draft, two in the first four rounds. You got Eddie Lacy in the second round out of Alabama. You got Jonathan Franklin in the fourth round out of UCLA. They'll be, you know, competing with the veterans still in the roster. James Starks, Alex Green, DeJuan Harris, you name it. They even throw undrafted rookie Angelo Pease into the fray here. And you got a really interesting situation, basically a six-headed monster there in which these guys will be fighting for jobs. Now, I mean, there are basically roster spots assured to, you know, Eddie Lacy, Jonathan Franklin, probably even DeJuan Harris, you know, but the rest of the guys fighting for a job, they're all fighting for playing time. You know, I think more than likely it goes to one of the rookies, and I'll give Eddie Lacy the front runner for the job. But as it is, you know, I think that it is wide open, though. I mean, I'm certainly not counting anybody out of the matter for the time being. It's just a matter of letting it play out, and we'll see who the winner is. But, you know, that's another one of the competitions there. You know, running back, you got safety. Of course, seeing how Dayton Jones fits in on the defensive line. Is he going to be a starter or not? And you know, kind of talking about starters on the defensive line is a little bit, you know, they shuffle guys in and out of the defensive line, and they got guys who play in different packages. And, you know, basically C.J. Wilson was a starter last year, but he basically only played in their 3-4 defensive package. He didn't play in their nickel all that much. He wasn't a pass rusher. So, you know, the term starter is kind of used loosely with defensive linemen. But still, seeing how he fits in on the defensive line, is Dayton Jones going to be a three-down player? Is he going to be an impact player in his rookie year? Finding out, you know, about him. Those are all things I'm looking forward to. So, you know, obviously, I'm just touching the surface here, scratching the surface of other competitions and things that are going to go down during training camp. And we'll get into those more in depth here as Railbird Central goes on and we kind of get into the run-up of training camp here. We'll be back again on Wednesday. We'll be continuing the series interviewing the writers at allgreenbaypackers.com. So stay tuned for that. Make sure to tune in Wednesday morning. We air live at cheeseheadtv.com every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Runs for a half hour till about 9 a.m., which is what time it is right now. We're going to wrap up today. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll see you back here on Wednesday. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Cleaning me.